The Epistle of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14 to 16. First Peter chapter 1 verse 14 to 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This injunction by the Apostle Peter is given to every truly converted born again Christian, and not to the nominal, that is, Christians in name, being bound to their own lusts, which a Chinese proverb declares to be womanizing, gambling, drinking, and smoking. Drinking is not drinking Pepsi, but whiskey, beer, and brandy. And smoking, insofar as the Chinese are concerned, they were deeply engrossed in smoking opium. But to be more modern, we must include all the drug taking and all the poisons that they take in today. You want to learn some Chinese? Womanizing is piao. Gambling is tu. And drinking is yin. And smoking is cui. Piao, tu, yin, cui are the four words that even Chinese society will warn against with regard to those who indulge in them. How can they walk in the narrow way of the holy road? Still bound in ignorance, they are going their way to destruction. They are like those who travel on uncharted roads, footpaths, and cart tracks, full of potholes and bumps, used by other unconverted people. The journey becomes even more rough. The road ends down in the deep valley of hell. St. Paul refers to those who are practicing fornication, who are in striving with one another, who are drunkards, and so forth, that these are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. But the born again Christian travels the road to holiness. A born again Christian is a new person. St. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A born again Christian is saved to a holy life, and not that he must keep holy commandments in order to be saved. Here the Apostle Peter is in no wise teaching us to keep the Ten Commandments to be saved, but rather that we are saved, so we should live by the holy laws of God and live within the Ten Commandments. The road now we travel is a new road and not the haphazard footpath and cart tracks that go even to nowhere. Jesus Christ is the one who paves this new road, and it leads to the mountain of heaven. It is solid and strong, and it is founded on the rock, Jesus Christ Himself. On this road to holiness, which is to heaven, there are 10 traffic lights, namely the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments in the Old Testament gives us 10 stop signs. I will give you briefly a synopsis of the 10 commandments. They are the traffic stop lights on the way. First of all, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image and to bow down to it. Here is a reference to our Roman Catholic friends who may be in church. You must not make any image and bow down to it, whether it be holy images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, to keep it holy for rest and for worship. Honor thy father and thy mother, that you might have long life. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do any murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against a neighbor. And thou shalt not covet. The stop signs have been given, and contrary, we have the go signs. These are given in the New Testament. And the two great commandments, which are, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Jesus says this is the first great commandment, and then there is a second one to it, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Ten Commandments, whether stated negatively in the Ten Commandments by Moses or positively under the two great commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor, by our Lord Jesus Christ. They are one, in so much as the traffic lights to the mountain of heaven are of one design. The Ten Commandments given in the Old Testament in the negative are quite clear. They are, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. To live a holy life, we must not sin against God or man. When they come to the stop sign, we must stop and not cross it. Now we come to the go signs, the positive side of the Ten Commandments. thou shalt have no other gods before me. Positively is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God in his being or in his person. Our God is a person, and we must love him with all our heart. We must give God the right worship, which is the true love in worship. Here again, we must not make any graven images. And those who worship the Lord God in the heart, but through outward signs and looking at images, are not loving the true God in the true worship. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Positively, thou shalt love God's name. How we must defend the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when it is being spoken evil of. Thou must love the Lord thy God with regard to his day, which he has given holy Sabbath, a holy rest, and we must love our parents in order that we might have long life. There are 10 commandments. These are the 5 commandments that refer to our duties to God. Now, secondly, we come to the remaining 5 commandments that refer to our duties to our neighbors, to men. Thou shalt love our, we must love our neighbor's person. Him, you will not hate him, you will not kill him. We must love our neighbor. And not to butt in and to have any interest in his wife, which may result in adultery. For that matter, we must not commit adultery with any woman. We must love a neighbor in regard to his property. If you love him, you will not steal from him. And we must love our neighbor with regard to his reputation. There is such a thing as character assassination, especially when you have some jealousy or hatred against your neighbor, you will talk bad of him. Saint Augustine says in his Bible College, at my table let there be no backbiting of anyone, I will not hear it. It's a very most unfair thing to talk bad of a neighbor when he is not there to cross-examine you or to defend it. So here is a very important commandment against our tongue. We must never let slip any word that will hurt people. But if you say anything about your neighbor, it must be good, correctly reporting. And finally, thou shalt not covet, to be covetous, to be greedy of somebody's things, to be jealous of a neighbor having a new car. If you love him, you will congratulate him and be happy with him. You will not be covetous. If we love God and man positively, we will go through our journey. And by following the stop and go signs accordingly, we will have a safe and happy arrival at the mountain of heaven. We have stated in the very beginning that this injunction of Peter to keep the holy commandments of God, because God is holy, is not to work for our salvation, but it is because we are saved. Then we are called to a life of holy living, and the test is through the commandments, whether we have lived up to the standard that God has required of us. But now here is a problem. We are not saved to sinless perfection, as some of the denominations teach, that once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you no more have any sinful nature or desire, and you live a perfect life. The Bible is very clear, especially St. Paul. Especially Calvin and St. Augustine, they also point out that we still have our sinful nature in us. And so, here may come a temptation. Your friend entrusts a big sum of money with you. And of course, he expects that you will deliver to him when he comes back from somewhere when he is not present here. But being tempted, you use up the money. This is committing against the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. In civil law, this will be declared to be a breach, criminal breach of trust. And in fact, there is no escape of not being jailed from this commandment. Then there is another case where we break the law of the 7th commandment, namely, thou shalt not commit adultery. So there are Christian divorces, and these are quite common today. And according to Christian America, so-called, every 2 marriages will end up with 1 on the rocks. And this is a very sad case. It brings sorrow to the home and shame to the name of our God and Savior. But it happens. What is the solution as you go on the road to holiness when these accidents maybe come into the picture? The only way is to return to the Lord, confess our sins to Him, and seek forgiveness. And if we come to Him, He will surely forgive us and save us. The sad thing is, when we have such cases in the church, then the guilty party disappears and they will not have anything to do with the old church, but somehow find a way to another church. the true solution. We must sincerely repent and come to the Lord. Such cases are very difficult to deal with. But I was very happy to have two successful cases. The young lady said, "My husband just leaves me for his office mate, his secretary. And I've been longing for him." Well, I said, "How husband's relationship new girlfriend?" Well, he says the girlfriend is very quarrelsome. I said, "Let us pray that she'll quarrel with her husband and finally break off." Well, praise the Lord, it succeeded because when her husband came home, she never said a word. And by being patient, she won the battle. In another case, a staunch member of the church was led astray by another woman. And it was such a tangle, but I privately counseled him that this is a very bad deal. You lose out in the end. And one day she said, "Please come with me to this hotel and we will have a quiet talk." And he said, "Pastor, I'm willing to give up." I said, "Praise the Lord." I said, "It is not so sweet as you think, but as things go along, you'll find a bitterness in being estranged from your wife." Now he's a very strong member of the church, and he comes regularly to be in the house of the Lord. What is the trouble with you? Can a Christian sin? Can he be led astray? Yes. The happy thing is that he will not lose his salvation, but he must repent and turn to the Lord. Finally, we find also that to keep the rules on this road to holiness, it is a happy thing to obey the Lord. It's a happy thing and blessing to obey without any question what the Lord has commanded us. For example, I'll ask you one question. Why do you come to church this morning? Because I feel very happy. Because I'm obeying the Lord's commandment which says, neglect not yourself in the assembly of yourselves. That refers to Sunday worship. And because God commands me to remember the Lord's day, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, in holy rest and worship, I do it. Not only in obedience to His commandments, but because of the joy I receive in worship and being assured by the word of the Lord that though I've sinned against Him, but if I repent, I will not be lost. We come here each Sunday in gratitude for the Lord's many mercies in saving us, in providing for all our needs, and in saving us from sickness, from accident, from many things, and restoring us, giving us a good appetite and good health and strength again. At any rate, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," there is a doctrine that says, you cannot be holy, so leave everything to the God. This is only a half-truth. It's only with God's help that we can be holy. That it teaches us also to yield our will to Him, to strive, to walk all the time on the road to holiness, which leads us finally to heaven. Now a question asked is, do you have the assurance that you will arrive there safely? Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful Holy Word, which teaches us not only to refrain from the evil things, but also positively to do the good things. That the Ten Commandments are not just to stop us from evil deeds, but they are also given in two great commandments by our Lord Jesus Christ, that we must love you with all our heart and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you for saving us first to holiness, and not that we must keep your commandments perfectly in order to be saved. So Lord, help us to follow Thee happily and joyously each moment of the day, knowing that You have already saved us and will keep us safe to the very end. Bless Thy people, O Lord, with this new understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.